We want to welcome every single person who's joined us through the web and through television. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we believe that the Word is going to speak that to you today as you just lean in to hear what God has for you. We want to welcome you again from Healing Place Church. Why don't we clap our hands for all those who joined us through television, through the web. We're in a series right now. It's just a 3-week series about now, the urgent truth about tomorrow, now, being able to understand that God has an urgency and wants to speak an urgency about the now that we live in, making the most of the moments that God has promised us. And I don't know if there's a better scripture in this part two of now than in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus teaches the people. It's on the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is really just a whole sermon, the greatest sermon ever preached. It's a whole sermon helping people to embrace the now word that God had for them, the now that the Spirit wanted to speak to their life. So it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34. I'll read this to you, and it's enough to fill up our plate this morning. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Now, that's Jesus speaking that. It's written in red right there, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. You can't serve two masters. It's impossible to have that type of dualism in your life. Goes on to say, and here's how he unpacks it, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, the body more important than the clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Now, we can just stop there and go on home right there. You can't add anything to your life. There's no addition to your life when you are drowning in the deceit of worry. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Now he challenges our faith. Says that our faith is small if we're being eaten up by worry. So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things. If there's one thing you don't want to be called by God, that's a pagan. It's not a good thing. It's not a compliment. Hey, brother, you're looking like a pagan. That's not a good idea. Don't want to be called a pagan. The pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. Here's a key verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Here's the last words that Jesus teaches on this subject. These are very important words. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I have a good amen? Each day has enough trouble of its own. What is he saying? There is enough trouble in tomorrow. You don't need to borrow trouble from tomorrow and overload it on your today. There's too much borrowing trouble from another day that you've not lived. Too many mights and ifs and what if could happen. You borrow that trouble and then you put it in your today. Today has enough trouble of its own. It has enough challenge. It has a large enough hurdle for you to jump over. Why increase the obstacle by borrowing trouble from a day that may not happen? That's what Jesus is teaching. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34 is a great truth about our now. Jesus is teaching us about our now. It's an urgent truth about our now and about our tomorrow. He explains so many things about our now. He explains so many things about the world that we live in. He explains so many things about trust and faith right there in those few scriptures. And I just want to unpack it for a few minutes, and because I believe Jesus goes two different streams here. It's like there's two streams that he's teaching us about our now. He's teaching us about the value of our now, but he's also letting us know about the enemy of our now, the enemy of our now. So there are four thoughts that I pulled out of the scripture as Jesus is teaching his disciples. Here's the first one. Just want to unpack them for a few moments. Here's the first one Jesus is teaching to his disciples and to all those that have gathered around. The first one is value the day you have. He's just telling them, learn to value the day you have. Now, these disciples have left home. They've left nets. They've left all the different things, their fishing business, all the, and they're following Jesus. And I bet constantly they wonder, where are we going? 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 When are we going to get there? Where are we sleeping? What are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing Thursday? How are we going to pay for it? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Jesus says, hold up. Don't ask me that again. Value the moment you have. Live in your day. Live in your day. Value what you have. Embrace your day. Hey, boys, why don't you try being here? Right here. Because too often we are there in our yesterday or tomorrow. Be here because it's all you've got. Guys, we've got to learn to be totally present in the day that we have. See, every day is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Slow but smart. I'm glad you're not getting that thirsty. You're quicker than our 8 o'clock service. About midway through the service. I got it. Thank you. Value the day you have. Learn to be present. Every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. You can ask a lot of people. I've gone through a lot of things. And a lot of them would tell you, man, there's one thing I wish I'd done different. I wish I'd enjoyed the day. I wish I'd enjoyed the... Jesus is teaching his disciples, value the day you have. Here's the second thing he's teaching them. He's teaching them worry is an enemy. Worry is a vicious, mean enemy of our life. See, so often worry tries to get in our world. And how we do this is... We have the habit of letting yesterday and the problems of yesterday and the pain of yesterday and the hurt of yesterday and the fear of tomorrow and what's going to happen next. We let yesterday and tomorrow diminish our today. And we can't live in our today. We're not enjoying our today because we've got so much of yesterday and so much of tomorrow that we're giving to. And what happens is worry is introduced into our lives, and the enemy of worry, it wants to totally take the pain and the problem and the thoughts of yesterday and tomorrow and invade our today. And you know what I found out? It leaves you nothing at all for today. It gives you nothing. It doesn't do anything for you. Worry does not add to your life. Worry doesn't add to the journey. It adds zero. Worry steals your now. It's like a thief. Worry will blind you as far as faith and the future. Worry will blind your vision for the kingdom, your dream for God, your hope for what's beyond. Worry will blind all that because worry does not want you to enjoy your today. It's an enemy of your soul. It's an enemy of your family. It's an enemy of your hope. It's an enemy of your business. It's an enemy of your finances. It's an enemy of your dream. Worry is a big enemy. It's not your friend. It's not your ally. It's not your buddy. Worry is not that. Worry is your enemy. Now, here's the third thing that Jesus teaches in these scriptures that I believe he wants us to get, to take ownership of our now. We've got to value the day that we have. We've got to be careful because worry will try to creep into your life and will camp out in your life and will ruin your today because all we do is think about yesterday and tomorrow. It is an enemy of our soul. It is an enemy of our future. But yet we've got to make sure that in the process, he's teaching us, take ownership of your now. You know what? Nothing really exists outside of our now. Nothing happened really in your past. It was our now that it was our past or our now that became our past. Let me explain it this way. There's really not a past. What you experienced in your past, it was what you embraced in a now that became your yesterday. Well, this is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. That didn't happen to you yesterday. It happened in your now. There's no reality of a past. There's only a reality of now. That's all we have is a now. And so often we're living in the past. We're living in yesterday, when really yesterday doesn't exist. All that we have is the right now moment. Here's what happens. We spend energy and we spend time living, and we spend a lot of our time and a lot of our energy living in yesterday and tomorrow, and then we only visit today. We ought to flip that. We ought to just visit yesterday and tomorrow, and we ought to live in our now, right now. Got to live in our now. Got to embrace our now. Oh, that God would help us to realize that, to take ownership of our now, to take ownership of our now. So, Dino, I got to worry about tomorrow. If I don't worry about tomorrow, who's going to worry about it? What does it do? What does it add to your life? If you worry about it and it doesn't happen, then you've wasted precious moments that you could have had in your day. If you worry about it and it happens, you haven't made it better. It doesn't show up in your today and say, thank you. You're my friend. You're my buddy. You worried me all the way to here. Now I'm going to work with you. It's not going to work with you. Worrying about it did not add anything to your life. So, well, how do I live my life without worry? You got to learn. Do you know what's amazing? I left here last night to go home. And how did I get home? This is how I drove home. I have a sense of direction. Got an idea how to get there, but it's dark. So one of the ways I got home is I cut on my headlights. My headlights go about 30 feet. Do you know what? I went about 5 miles because I could see 30 feet in front of me. I could take those 30 feet of headlights and I could go to L.A. tonight. I could drive to Houston tonight. It's a long way. I can't see Houston. I don't know where I can't see what's happening in Houston. But you know what I do? I put those 30 feet of headlights in front of me and I can drive and drive and drive and drive. Why? I'm trusting the 30 feet in front of me. I've got light right here. Why? I'm trusting the light of what I could see. So often we are trying to live our life beyond the light. We're trying to find out what's beyond the light. Oh, I can't see. What's beyond what I can't see? The Bible says His word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. That's all He's promised us. That's all He's promised us is right here. How am I going to make it? That's all you need. If I cut the lights off in this building, I could walk across the stage. If I had a flashlight just right here, I may have to take my time. I may have to slow down, which is sometimes a very good thing. But I could move forward. I could keep walking. I could walk from here to College Drive. I could walk from here to the state capitol, even though it would be pitch black. I'll never forget when the power was off from Gustav and there wasn't light anywhere. Someone came and picked me up about 2 nights after that. We drove all the way down to our dream center. There wasn't light anywhere. This city was pitch black. It was dark. It was dark 30. Can I have a good amen? It was so dark. Guess what? I made it to Windborne. Why? I had headlights. I followed my headlights and I followed the sense of direction and I made it. Don't live in yesterday or tomorrow and visit your today. Live in your today and visit your yesterday and visit your tomorrow. Don't let your life be eat up. All you worry about what's next. Oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh. It will destroy. You know, it's interesting. There's no adventure in tomorrow, yesterday. The only adventure you have is today. That's all you have. And then here's the fourth thing that I learned from this. And this is a very serious thing, but I think we need to hear it because it's the truth. Worry calls God a liar. Worry calls God a liar. That's why we got to see it that serious. It's not our friend. It's not our ally. We are not comforted by worry. Worry doesn't get us through. Worry is against everything that God stands for. Worry comes against totally God as your source. I'm not going to make it. Oh, gosh. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're never going to make it. We're never going to make it. You know what that says? God, you can't take care of me. When worry camps in our life and lives in our world, I just tell you what, my life is going to fall apart. Oh, my gosh. Well, our finances, Dow Jones and the economy. What are we going to do? We're going to starve. We're going to starve to death. Store the beans up. Get some beans. Get some dry goods. We're never going to make it. You know what it says? God's not a provider. That's what it says. Worry calls God a liar. That's what worry says. I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to mount to nothing. I'm never going to get out of this situation. What I'm in right now is going to define me forever. My life will never change. This sickness will always be in my life. This confusion, this pain, I'll continue to be defined by this. My marriage will never overcome this. My kids will never amount to anything. It just says over and over again that God's not provider, that God is not greater than the things that you face, that God doesn't know what He's doing, that God can't sustain you, that there's no peace. Worry directly comes against the God that is over your life. Oh, gosh, what am I going to do? I'm never going to get a date. I'm going to be an old maid. Oh, Lord, nobody's going to call me. I'm going to be all by myself forever and ever. I'm going to turn out like so-and-so. Lord, have mercy. Worry, 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 worry. You know, it says every time we embrace it, every time we choose to live in worry, it says, God, you can't. You can't handle it. You can't take care of me. But my worry can. My worry can. The challenge is to own your now. Love your now. Serve the now. Be all there in your now. Because today is the day we have. It says this in 2 Corinthians. That today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. I've never met anyone in my whole life. I've been saved now, 18, 27 years. I have never met one person, not one. I've never met anybody that I talked to that when they came to Christ, they looked at me and said, I came to Christ too early. I wish I'd have waited another decade. You know, I received Jesus when I was 16. I wish I would have received Him at 46. No one. I've never met a person who said that. But I can line them up from here to Gonzales, who have said, I wish I'd have bowed my knee to Jesus when I was a little younger. But I came to know Christ at 36. What would it have been like if I'd accepted Him at 16? You know, I started being a fully surrendered believer. I started giving, started serving. You know, I really surrendered. I talked to a man the other day, and he's really, oh, God has done so much in his life. He's about 55 years old, just, you know, big brother to me. And he just said, he just came to Christ. He just really fully surrendered. He's giving, he's serving, he's reaching out to people, living humble, being kind. You know what he said? Wasted a lot of time. He said, I went living for God when my children were babies. He said, but I got grandbabies. I'm going to do better with my grandbabies. But you know what he's saying? I wish I'd have done better with my children. If I could have that day back. But see, when we're in our now and all we're saying is tomorrow, tomorrows add up. And days add up. And before you know it, we never make a decision for today. The devil is a cheerleader for you being fully surrendered to Jesus tomorrow. He's an all about tomorrow kind of devil. I'm telling you that right now. He will talk to you all day long in this church saying, I tell you what you ought to do, not today, but tomorrow is when you need to start reading your Bible. We're going to do that tomorrow. You good? You good? Tomorrow. I'm all about it. I'll leave you alone. Tomorrow. Then he says it the next day and the next day and the next day. Today is the day of salvation. There's a great scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 that says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the very same. See, Jesus is a today Savior. What did He say on the cross to the thief? Today you will be with me in paradise. Right now, Savior, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But you know what's interesting about that? What's interesting is I believe what I read in the Bible about yesterday. If Jesus fed 5,000 people yesterday, amen. I believe it happened the exact way it said in the Bible. If He raised Lazarus from the dead, I believe it with every, I believe it. I can believe it. I don't have a problem believing. I don't read any stories in the Bible. I wonder, wow, how did that happen? But I believe all of them took place. I believe in the Jesus of yesterday. And I believe in the Jesus of tomorrow. I've been stuck in the book of Revelation. I've been reading Revelation 1, 2, 3, and 4 over and over again. I've read the book of Revelation a couple times this year, trying to figure out about the end of the world. What is it going to look like? What are the telltale signs that we're in the end times? I've been enjoying it. Don't understand it all. Can I have a good amen? There's some things about it. I'm like, whoa, confused. But I believe it. Don't understand how it's going to happen, but I'm all in it. I believe in the Jesus of tomorrow. Totally, I believe he's going to come back. Totally, I believe at the end of it that Jesus wins. He's Lord of lords. He's King of kings. I'm in heaven and it's all good. I totally believe in Jesus Christ, my Savior tomorrow. I so believe in the Jesus of my yesterday. Where I struggle is the Jesus of today. I believe he can heal me today. I believe he can change my life today. Do I believe he can forgive me today? Do I believe he can give me a new beginning today? Do I believe he can give me a fresh start today? That's where I struggle. I don't know why it is about us. I'll include us. Well, I can have faith for yesterday. I can have hope for tomorrow. But trusting him today, struggle. All we have is today. Embrace your marriage today. Love your kids today. Forgive today. Live today. Give today. Grow today. Pray today. Surrender today. Be committed today. Love today. Be devoted today. Live holy today. Today. This is all we have. It's right now. Amen.